He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Come, you thankful people, come. We're going to sing some traditional Thanksgiving songs tonight.
Glad to have you here this evening. A few years ago, we began a tradition of taking the Sunday before Thanksgiving and having an opportunity for members in our congregation to share, to give testimony, to praise, to give thanks to the Lord for the way that He's been working in their lives, sometimes through positive things, sometimes through trials and tribulations. And really, it's an opportunity for encouragement for all of us to see how the Lord is working and moving in our midst. And so tonight really is an opportunity for you to connect and to be encouraged by how the Lord is moving and working by different members here in our own congregation. And as we do that, I want to start by reading a scripture to you. It's one that, if you listen to it, he's giving examples of different types of people. And if we're honest, I think we might find ourselves before Christ in one of these examples, and how the Lord moved and worked in our lives and called us to faith. So I'm going to read from Psalm 107. If you want, you can follow along in your Bibles or the Pew Bible in front of you. But Psalm 107. Again, as we read, listen and think about your own life and where you were when God graciously saved you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and had spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities they suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds and songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at the wit's end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert and springs of water into thirsty ground, a faithful land into a salty waste because of the evil of the inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless waste. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their family like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we recognize from that psalm, we remember back to our days, for many of us, wandering in sin and in darkness, pursuing the things of this world, going after things which brought no value, as the scripture says, vanity of vanities. But Lord, in your grace and your mercy, you brought our hearts low. You raised us up from the pit of despair. And Lord, we as your children give thanks and we praise you. Lord, your loving kindness, your steadfastness, your patience towards us is everlasting. And so, oh Lord, we give thanks. Lord, we recognize that you are at work for good in our lives. Those whom you have redeemed by the blood of Christ, you say, if you are for us, who can be against us? And that you are working all things together for our good. And so, Lord, tonight we praise you and we give you thanks. Lord, we confess that we don't always see the end and we don't always understand your ways because you are mysterious at times. But, oh Lord, you are a glorious and a gracious God, worthy of obedience and of worship. And so, Lord, even in the moments when we don't understand, even when it seems dark in our paths, are unclear, oh Lord, let us trust and believe that you, our great shepherd, go before us, directing our steps. And so, Lord, tonight, we all pause and give you thanks. Thanks for all that we have. Thanks for breath and life and family and possessions. But most of all, oh Lord, tonight, the redeemed of the Lord give thanks that our sins, though they be like scarlet, have been made white as snow as you nailed them to the cross. And Father, for that, all of the people of the living Christ say, Amen.
Good evening. I was asked to speak about my experience at the International Women's Tea and Prayer Conference. And I just wanted to share a little bit of what happened. So I was expecting to hear some ladies drink some tea, taste some food, no big deal. Thankfully, God's plans are always better than ours. I was greeted with love. I met some wonderful ladies at my table. I did enjoy some tea and food. But most importantly, I saw how the Holy Spirit moved in the lives of others and was reminded that God's plan is so much bigger than what I always expect. Around the world, God is at work, and I had forgotten that he called us to spread the gospel. That afternoon, I learned about ladies around the world who suffer, who are mistreated, who hunger for God's word. We met a lady from China who went back and forth to China. She went back and forth to this country and went to a church where she didn't understand everything. And somehow, from her going back and forth, she finally met some people who spoke her language and was able to come to Christ. And it was just a beautiful testimony. Then we met two ladies who work with Africa and women in the 1040 window, women that that go to other countries and do, you know, help other women come to Christ. And so they share stories and testimonies and showed us pictures and just showed us how much we don't know and how much we're missing. So God's work is not for mine, but for his glory. And I am thankful for these ladies and the fact that they were there for me to remind me that. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we get to join together in singing a praise song to the Lord. It's called We Gather Together to Ask the Lord's Blessings. Let's stand together, if you would, as we sing.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Gary. Yaneth is, English is not your first language, is it? I did a wedding recently, and I did the English part, she did the Spanish part. She sings so much better in English than I can sing in English, and that's not even our national language. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask at this time for us to, is George, where are you? Right, if you want to come on up, George is going to be sharing. And many of you know George has gone through lots of ups and downs, and here recently with the death of Mary, And as we were trying to walk through who it is that maybe would share this year, George had said to me, hey, I really feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. I need to share. I'd love to share. So we talked about it, and we felt like that would be a great opportunity for him. So would you pray with me as we pray for George as he gets ready to share? So, Lord, we are thankful for the way that you have sustained George and his family through this last 5 years as you've taken them on ups and downs with Mary's disease, and Lord, how you walked them through even these last few months. So Lord, right now we're asking, as George speaks, Lord, that you would speak, that you would stir up his mind and his heart the things to share. And Lord, that not only would it honor Mary and those who knew her and how he and his family worked and experienced you, but Lord, would we really come away just giving thanks and praise to you for how you've protected, provided, and grown George and his family, even in the midst of such great sorrow. Lord, we pray your blessing upon George. Give us ears to hear now, we pray, in Jesus' name. George?
Okay, I'm back up here again. It's not my preferred place, but this is where the Lord has me. Some of you don't know my story, some of you don't know the season that I went through, so I'm going to share with those who don't know. My story is not exclusive to the Kefalidis family. It's not just for me. There's many families that go through seasons, go through trials and tribulations. So this is not an exclusive story just for me. It is how the Lord worked in my life for those 5 years. And that's what I want to share with you all. You will hear tonight about a disease, pain, suffering, inevitably Miss Mary's passing, and how the Lord worked in my life and the life of my children. I don't have any new scripture to share with you. I don't have a new Bible translation. You're not going to hear something that you haven't heard before. You may hear verses that are intertwined together. You'll hear verses that are paraphrased. But this is what got me through my season, and this is what helped me and helped my family. I will share part of Mary's testimony because I think it's the conviction she had that the Lord laid on her heart. I share her testimony with all, any ear that I can bend, any lobe that I can twist in love. I share it. And let's begin. On July 15, 2009, Mary, who I refer to as Miss Mary, was diagnosed with stage 4 glioblastoma. That's the most aggressive form of brain cancer that we have. You may have recently heard about the young lady that took her own life in Oregon. She had the same cancer. Not to make light of any other disease or any cancers, there's something about, and I can only tell you about cancer in the brain. When you start to affect the brain of a human body, of a human being, it's not a good thing. You can have it here or have it here, but it doesn't affect your brain. And once it affects your brain, it changes things. It changes the way you act. It changes the way you speak. It changes the way you think. And you know it changes you, but you just don't have any control over it. And we were at the oncologist office on that July 15th evening, and I started to hear all these words, radiation, chemo, Avastin, Timidor, Decadron, steroids, biopsy, and it was all Greek to me, and I am Greek, and I didn't understand it. It was a foreign language. I didn't know the difference between benign or malignant. I didn't know the difference. Naive of me, maybe I didn't want to know. I didn't have a reason to know. And on that evening, as my world was just spinning, Mary raised her foot. And she asked me if there was something on the bottom of her foot. And I said, the brain tumor is really working fast. And I said, no. I'm thinking she had gum or something on. I don't know what she was asking me for. And I said, no, Miss Mary, there's nothing on your shoe. And she says, so there's no expiration date like milk on the bottom of my foot. And I said, no, Miss Mary, there's nothing on your foot. And she looked at Dr. Jimmy, and she said, Dr. Jimmy, I respect you, and I respect your medical profession. But I have a birth certificate, I have a marriage certificate, only God will issue me my death certificate. So with that, we started this roller coaster of brain cancer. We had just bought a house. We were in the middle of demolishing our house, demolition and redoing. And a month and a half later, she was no longer able to work. I lost a significant income. I don't know about you all, but if you have dual incomes and you lose one, it's hard. I'm happy to say that I still live in the same home that we purchased. There is no white piece of paper at my front door asking me to leave. The Lord has provided for me. My first prescription at Publix when I went to get her chemo, which was 30 days, was $9,000. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. The Lord provided for us again. I want to be transparent because it's important to understand how God works. I became addicted and I became dependent at that moment in time. I didn't become addicted to drugs. I didn't become dependent on alcohol. I became dependent on this. God's word became all the bodies of water in the world, and I became the world's largest sponge. I could not soak up his word fast enough. I could not soak up his word enough. I couldn't get enough of his word. And I stand on every word that is written in that book. Our journey wasn't that bad. We did have our moments. I was able to take her and my family to Romania for 3 weeks. People with glioblastomas don't travel, let alone abroad. We went through the crazy steroid ordeal. We went through the losing of the hair. I shaved her hair in the front yard. Not very good for a woman. It's very not so good, let me tell you. We went through a lot of ups and downs. I ended up in pastor's office more than once. And thank God by his wisdom and God's grace, he was able to calm many of the storms that we had going and brewing in our family. You put timelines together with cancer. I didn't know this, but I kind of figured this out later on. About last year, this time, I started to see Mary. You could see differences in Mary. She declined a little bit every day, a little bit here and there through the years. But about last November, she started to decline, and that's when my real storm really started. This is when my world got real difficult. It was already difficult. I had a son that was calling me from a satellite phone, who's a Marine, who's getting shot at while I'm listening to his conversation. I always said that everybody deserves a teenager for punishment. I had three at one time. With brain cancer, I work 55 hours a week. I am the voice and the face that they see. I didn't want to be there many a times. I really didn't want to hear a lot of people's stories about their cars. But God gave me the strength. And people often ask me, what can I do? What can I do for you? And I said, pray for me. Because there's nothing anybody can say to me that's going to comfort me right now. It's nothing anybody's going to buy me that's going to bring me any kind of peace or anything. I just need God's word. I need prayer. About last November, I started to notice Mary really declining. She started to lose her balance. She started to get stroke-like symptoms on her right side. Her hand turned. Her cheek drooped. Her vision was blurred. She couldn't see. She would see two or three of you. At one time, we tried several different contacts. It wasn't the contacts. It was the brain could not interpret what her eyes were seeing. She fell more than once. Tom and Gina had to go to the house and pick her up. Others had to pick her up. And I would tell people that every day I can see her getting worse and worse. And I prayed, and I didn't know what to pray for. Healing, Lord, take her, leave her. I didn't know. I didn't know what to pray for anymore. I know the Holy Spirit knows what to pray for. And I think for me, the most difficult thing was to watch, not that I encourage euthanasia by any means, that's not what I want to say, but to you see an animal suffer and you say, oh, we got to put it down. I watched Miss Mary suffer every day, and she still had her mind to the very end. She could still hear, she knew who you were. And I didn't understand how this cancer just ate at her brain. She lost half of her body. Her left side was so strong, and I just couldn't understand how it worked. And it was very painful, extremely painful. The Lord says, slow to anger. I cannot tell you that I wasn't angry at the Lord. I wasn't angry even at cancer. I was just angry. I was mad. I wanted to destroy my house. I wanted to just break everything. I don't know why. I don't know what that was going to accomplish. I got tired of crying myself to sleep. I got tired of crying myself to work. I had to be there for my kids. I had to be their rock. I had to be the cook. I had to be the cleaner. I had to be the disciplinarian. I had to take care of my wife. I don't like taking care of people. That's not what I'm good at. But I had to learn whether I liked it or not. I had to. And I wanted to at the end. I wanted to take care of her. And I held on to her for the very bitter end. I didn't want anybody to wash her, anybody to touch her. And I prayed and I prayed. And I found myself, not in the prayer position, but I found myself flat on my face. And I found myself on my king's feet. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm done. I'm empty. I'm a strong man, but I'm done. I have nothing else left in me. I cannot be what you want me to be. And I remember scripture says to lay your life down as a holy and living sacrifice that's acceptable to the Lord. And that night I laid my body down as a holy and living sacrifice to our Lord. He didn't rebuke me. He didn't kick me. He picked me up. And he says, those who labor and heavy laden come to me and I will give you rest. He didn't tell me to go to the Apple store. He didn't tell me to check with anybody. He said him. And I had to start to trust. And I said to Pastor, I said, he said this last week in his message. And when you see words that are reciprocated in the Bible over and repeated over, there's a reason why. And trust and trust. Can I get a tissue, Pastor? Sorry. I don't want to snivel up here. Sound like a baby. That's okay. I just don't want to snivel. Thank you. I got one, Pastor. I made it to my knees again, and I had to trust, and I had to trust, and the words, fear not, fear not, fear not. I keep reading that through the Bible. Fear not, trust, trust, fear not, don't be afraid. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you have for me. I don't know what you have planned for me. I don't know what you have going on, but I trust you. And I trust that your plan is better than my plan, because I would have had an exit strategy a long time ago. And I trusted, and I emptied myself. I realized something, that I had not totally emptied myself. And it's not that, thank you. It's not that I did it on purpose. I just didn't realize that I, as a man, as a human, as a sinner, still wanted to fix things on my own, and I couldn't. In my weakness, he was made strong, and I had to learn all these verses the hard way. Didn't come easy for me. And I began to trust. Listen, Miss Mary's condition didn't get any better. It got worse. I would tell people every day I can see she's getting worse and worse. And I would sit in my bedroom and I would watch her breathe. And I text this, I think Carol or Sandra or somebody, so there were some women who got this, some people. And I said, I don't know which breath is going to be her last. And she was so strong, and I didn't know whether that was hindering her, helping her. I had no idea. And I trusted the Lord. I trusted, and that's all I kept saying. I trust, I trust, I believe, I trust, I believe. And I just kept playing that. I would walk and pray, talk to the Lord. I would walk everywhere I would go, I would pray. I was in total, constant communication with the Lord, as I do now. I walk and pray. And it got harder and more difficult, but I felt a sense of peace. Because in John it says, come to me and I will give you peace. Not the peace of the world, but my peace. And I felt the sense of peace, and I think the death of Miss Mary was, I don't want to make light of her passing, but her passing was easier than the journey that we had. And I trusted in her. I trusted in the Lord that he would take care of her. And I knew where she would go. It's not as if I didn't believe. I knew where she was going to go. She was going to be with her Heavenly Father. But I do know this, that the Lord took this heart and he softened it, and he made these eyes tear. And when you can laugh and cry, and tears can roll off your cheeks, and you can say God is great, that is an amazing thing. I know that my beloved wife is with her Lord and Savior. I know that she is dressed in the whitest of whites. She feels no pain. She is dressed in the robe of his righteousness, and she is proclaiming to his name to all who will hear. And my children, who I love dearly, when they call me, I say to them, no, you come here. When our Heavenly Father calls, he says, you come to me. I'm not coming to you. I am your Lord and Savior. And I've learned that I don't mold the Lord to the way I want him to. I don't put him in a box. I don't love him when things are good. I don't hate him when things are bad. I love him regardless. Maybe this cancer was from the Lord. I don't know where it came from. Maybe it came from the evil one. I still rebuke the evil one. Don't get me wrong. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where these diseases come from. But I trust that there's a plan for me. And my job and my responsibility to the Lord is to draw nearer to him, to be closer to him, to love on him more, not to hate him, not to go like this to him. It's so many times somebody has something not so good happen to them, and I see them wave their fist, and they said, if God loved me, why would he do this? I try not to figure out the mysteries of the Bible. I just try to abide by his word that I do understand, and I leave the rest up to him. Maybe my faith was being tested. I've seen it say that God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. Maybe he trusts me with that. I don't know. But my job is to press forward. My job is to minister to my kids. My job is to minister to anybody who I can preach to. And I use Miss Mary's testimony to all who will listen, to all the ears that I can bend and twist. And I want to tell you that I sit here with great joy that she's no longer suffering, but that she resides with her Father in heaven, her heavenly Father. I love a great biblical military individual, and Joshua is that for me. And I quoted him at Miss Mary's service, and I'm going to quote him again. He wasn't quoted, it was God speaking to him, and he says, I command you. I command, that's a direct order. Where's Traff? He was in the military. We don't disobey orders. We don't disobey. And all you other Dre, I can't think of all you, Dave Murray, we don't disobey. We don't disobey our Lord, not because we just don't. And he was commanded, be strong, be courageous. Your God, your Lord is with you everywhere you go. Everywhere, not some places, not sometimes, not when he feels like it, but everywhere. Some men, and I challenge men, because some men think I may be weak because I love Jesus, and I'm proud to say that I do love him. He is my first love. I am Greek. My bloodline is from Sparta. We come from a long line of warriors. I have women in my family that are tougher than most men. I'm also a United States Marine. When I left for the Corps, my grandmothers told me, you come home on your shield or with your shield. That was my grandmother. I didn't know what that meant when I was 18, but I didn't think it was good. I also hunt hogs, wild boar, with dogs and a pocket knife. And I don't know if you know what that's like, but it's a very up close and personal experience. I asked Don about Merville's son the other day. You have to stab them. That's not for the weak. I don't shoot them, I stab them with a pocket knife. I don't say that to boast. I say that real men do love Jesus, just like the bumper stickers that you read on the back of cars. And I do. And I will take those words to the grave with me. I want to thank you all for coming and listening and being here, supporting me, my family, through the years, because it was a rough season. It was really rough. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And you don't need stage 4 glioblastoma to search out the Lord. You can do it a lot easier. It's a lot easier, trust me. I pray that when you do have a season of your life, and it will come, and that's not being an optimist, that's a realist, that you will seek out the Lord, because he's the only one that can get you through. I found no comfort in anybody else or anything else. Not that I look for it, but he is our high priest. He is my redeemer. He is my shield. He is my high tower. He is my deliverer. So, it's a little difficult to come up here and be transparent and shed tears. But there's tears of joy, there's tears of happiness. I've shared this with a few others. Miss Mary passed at 7:15 on a Wednesday night, and I shared this, I think, two Wednesdays ago at church. I said every Wednesday, with the exception of this coming Wednesday and a few other Wednesdays during the course of the year because of holidays, I will be in my God's, in the presence of God's house every Wednesday at 7:15 with my brothers and sisters, listen to the Word of God, and that brings great comfort for me. I will be listening to Pastor Travis minister and teach and speak the Word of God, and there's no other place that I would want to be at that moment when she passed. And my children will be in youth, and there's no other place I would want them to be. People often ask me, what about the kids? What about the kids? I'll share something about Danielle. Danielle will sit in the kitchen with me, and I'll try to get her feelings and what's going on, and she will say, Daddy, we got Jesus in our heart. We got Jesus. We'll see Mama again in heaven. And if that doesn't make this dad just jump around for joy and rejoice, nothing will. I have a short story I want to share with you. These children were playing outside one day, and the mom says, we got to go inside and have dinner. So the father marched them in one at a time. They all went to their rooms. Mom went into the kitchen. She started to make dinner. The mom hears some whimpering. So she discovers it's the little girl that's whimpering. She's in her room on the bed. She's about 5. Little bitty. So she calls for the father and says, something's wrong with our little girl. So the dad goes in the bedroom and he sees the little girl balled up on the bed. And he's trying to figure out what's wrong with her. And he happens to see that her arm is broken and the bone is pushing up against her skin. She wasn't crying. She walked right by the dad, but she was whimpering. So the dad yells out to the mom, we gotta go. Grab the insurance card, grab the jackets, we gotta go. Mom didn't know what was going on. So they get in the car and they go to the medical facility. The little girl is in her dad's arms, clinging as close to him as she could possibly get. The doctor comes out, the nurse comes out, and they see the arm. And the little girl's just holding on to her arm. And the doctor proceeds to say that we need to start an IV, and we need to lay the arm on the table and get an x-ray. That just made this little girl shake even more. She was already trembling. So the dad took the little girl to the side in his arms, trembling, and he's trying to convince her that it will be okay. Dad won't let anything happen to you. Nothing. As long as I'm here, nothing will happen to you. About 5 minutes or so later, the little girl lifts her head and she makes eye contact with her dad, and she pierces her dad's eyes into his soul, and she says to him, you promise? And the dad says, I promise. And she says, I trust you. I trust you. That little girl is here tonight. Stand up. That was the little girl who broke her arm. She trusted. You can sit. I won't call you out again. That's my daughter, Danielle. She trusted at 5 years old with a broken arm in the middle of a hospital at 1-2 o'clock in the morning. She trusted. So let me put this all together. Our Father, His children, His Word. It's not that hard. Put your egos down, check them in at the door, leave them at the door, because your Heavenly Father wants you, all of you. We've all been in love at some point in time in our life. We didn't want part of that person's love. We wanted all of that person's love. And your Heavenly Father wants all of your love. Not part-time, not three-quarters, not only when you want to give it. He wants it all. Just like you wanted that person's love. You wanted it all, He wants it all. So my question is, do you submit? Do you trust? What's my favorite song, Don? I Surrender All and Trust and Obey. Those are the two hymns that I request from Don every time to time. Because you can't trust and obey unless you surrender all. And I had to surrender all. I had to submit, but I didn't even know that I was even holding back. So, as we go, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here this evening. Thank you for sharing in my season. Thank you for being part of my life. Thank you for watching over my children, for loving on my children, for praying for us. And prayers do come true because Miss Mary lasted 63 months to the day, not the 18 months that they had given her. She would be very well pleased and is very well pleased, and if she could convey that, she would. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for your time tonight.
A few moments, but before we do that, I want to just do two things. I'm going to ask if Danielle and Anthony will come sit up here with George. And George, your mom's here, and so if your mom would come up as well, I want y'all to sit up here. And then I'm going to ask any man who served here as a deacon at any point, even if you're not a member here at this point, but you served as a deacon with George and his family during that time, I'm going to ask if you would come up. And Dave, I'm going to ask, I know you and George have a great relationship and you've been with him. Would you, as these men just come and lay their hands on the Kefalitis family, would you lead us in prayer? So if you've served with George as a deacon in any way, would you come on up? Here, you want this mic?
Father, thank you, as I always open prayer, for the gift of friendship, of family, for we are a family of God. Thank you for your servant, George. I'm sure we all can say he's a good man. For he has shown us through his example of how this should be done. He's a representative of you, and he showed us all how a Christian should live his life in dealing with the death of his wife, his companion, his soulmate. We were all moved. We will never forget. Thank you for the people of this church who reach out, who are known for their friendships and for their kindness to strangers. The reputation around. Bless all here who listen, who know, who feel the Holy Spirit working in their lives. Thank you for those who love us, and may we love them back and remember that nothing's guaranteed. Not tomorrow, not tonight, not 10 years from now. We make our plans, but God determines our path. We do not know what George's path will be. But from what I can see, it'll be a great one. Thank you once again for the many blessings you bestow upon us. Move us to do your work, to remember the loss are all around us. Help George to reach those folks, and help all of us to reach those folks, to make a difference in a life tomorrow that may mean eternity forever. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The other thing I wanted to do, just for a moment, is recognize that this may be, for some of you, a tough time of the year. For some of you, this is the first season, maybe you've had a loved one that has passed away, and this is your first Thanksgiving without them. Or maybe it's your 10th, but it's still hard. If that's you, I'm going to ask if you just would stand, and I'm going to pray for y'all for this at this time that the Lord would bring you peace. So if this is a time of season that's hard for you, maybe again, your mom died, your dad died, a loved one died here this last year, or you just know you miss them and you want to be prayed for, go ahead and stand, and I'm going to pray for y'all. And for others, look around. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe even this Thursday, you'll pray for them as well. The Lord lays on your heart. Oh, Father, in this room right now, you see those who are standing. And oh, Lord, may we be standing on your promises. Lord, this time of year should be a time when we give thanks and is joyful. But for so many here, Lord, this is a time where it's a challenge, it's hard, Lord, because we recognize somebody's not at the table, somebody's not at our house, somebody, we won't hear their voice this year. And so, Father, will you take our pain, will you take our sorrow, will you take our, just whatever it is that's inside, as George said, can we cast it upon you? Lord, can we find from you a sense of peace this year? Lord, each person standing, would you this year, in a supernatural way that only you can do, would you minister to them? Would you bless their hearts? Would you encourage them? Would you remind them of your faithful promises? Oh, Lord, would you remind them that for those who are in Christ, Lord, it's not forever, and that we will once again see them when you call us into your presence. And as we say so often, Lord, we may grieve. We may grieve this Thursday and even this week. But, Lord, as we grieve, may we do so with a certainty of hope. And, Lord, would you bring joy to our hearts, knowing, Lord, because of Jesus, death has not won. Amen. So, Lord, whatever is needed from each person standing here today, would you give it to them this week? We know all things are yours, and with you all things are possible. So, Lord, do it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, as we kind of close out our service of giving thanks, we want to take a moment and really corporately give thanks to the Lord for Christ, for His death and His resurrection. And here at Florida Gardens, what we do is we celebrate the Lord's Supper, some may call it communion, and we open it up to all individuals who in their heart of hearts confess Jesus as Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you're a member of His church, if your name is on the roll up yonder, as the song goes, or if you're trusting in Jesus alone for your salvation, not by works, not by baptism, not because you've done good things, but in your heart of hearts, if you say, if I were to die tonight, I would stand before Him and He would say, come in because you have trusted in Christ, then take this cup and this bread. Not as a means to make you right with Him, but as a testimony to those around that you are trusting in Jesus. And if you're not a believer in Christ, don't take these. They're not going to add any benefit to your life. They're not meritorious, meaning they don't bring grace to your life. They don't bring salvation to you. Jesus said, as often as you do this, you're proclaiming my death, my resurrection. We are proclaiming as a body of believers that Jesus died and was raised again. Not this cup and this wafer. That doesn't save us. He saves us. And so if you're not trusting in Him, these things will do you no good. But I would ask you then, as you let them pass, to search your heart and to say, Lord, what is stopping me from trusting in You? And to know if something were to happen in your family, like George and his family has gone through, and you don't have the Lord in your life, what hope do you have? Jesus is saying, all who call upon Me, all who will repent, all who will believe will have life. Even tonight, in this very moment, if you would ask Christ into your life, you would be forgiven. So I'm going to ask if our deacons will come, and I'm going to pray. And during that time, you might just investigate your heart and say, am I really in Christ? Am I really trusting in Him? Oh, Father, we're thankful that You have made it so that it's not by works that any man would boast, but by grace alone through faith in Jesus. And we're thankful that all that is necessary for us to be saved was accomplished on the cross and at His resurrection. Lord, all we are children of the living God who've repented of sins and who've trusted in Jesus. And so, Lord, tonight we declare before those who are here that we love You, that we believe in You, that we trust in You, that we know that if we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with You. Lord, oh, we give You thanks and we celebrate that death has lost its sting. Oh, death, where is Your sting? Oh, death, You have no control over us any longer because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so, as the people of God, we rejoice and give thanks and praise to You, oh God. And Lord, would You, even now, in the stillness of the moment, would You speak to those who've never trusted? And like Samuel, would they hear You calling them to life? And would they repent and believe? Father, we ask all of these things through the victorious name of Jesus. Amen.